السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، My dear brothers, sisters and elders, بإذن الله تعالى we are on the subject of the ayat of Surah Al-Luqman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu said,
أَلَمْ تَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنًا وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا أَوَلَوْ كَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى عَذَابِ السَّعِيرِ
وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَقَدِ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى وَإِلَى اللَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ ومن كفر فلا يحزنك كفره إلينا مرجعهم فننبئهم بما عملوا إن الله عليم بذات الصدور نمتعهم قليلا ثم نضطرهم إلى عذاب غليظ ولئن سألتهم من خلق السماوات والأرض ليقولن الله قل الحمد لله بل أكثرهم لا يعلمون لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض إن الله هو الغني الحميد ولو أن ما في الأرض من شجرة أقلام والبحر يمده من بعده سبعة أبحر ما نفدت كلمات الله إن الله عزيز حكيم.
الله سبحانه وتعالى جل جلاله said, which means, do you not see, O men, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has subjected for you whatever is in the heavens and whatsoever is in the earth. سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. That Allah has subjected for you whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth, and has completed and perfected His grace upon you, both apparent and hidden. ظَاهِرًا وَبَاطِنًا. Yet of mankind is he who disputes about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge or without guidance or with a book giving light. And when it is said to them, follow that which Allah has sent down, they say, no, we shall follow that which we found our fathers following. Would they do that even if shaitan invites them to the torment of the fire? And whosoever submits his face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whosoever submits his face, meaning submits himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone with sincere faith in the oneness of his lordship, which is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Oneness of his worship, which is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. And oneness of his names and qualities, which is Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. While he is a muhsin and does good deeds, then he has grasped the most trustworthy handhold. And to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, return all matters for decision. And whoever disbelieved, let not his disbelief grieve you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To us is their return, and we shall inform them what they have done. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-knower of what is in the breasts of men. We let them enjoy for a little while, then in the end we shall oblige them to enter a great torment. May Allah protect us from this, inshallah. And if you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they will certainly say, Allah. Say, all praise and thanks be to Allah. but most of them do not know. To Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Al-Ghani, free of all wants and worthy of all praise. Ghaniyun Hamid. In the last of the ayat, Allah said, and if all the trees on the earth were pens, and if the sea were ink with which to write, with seven seas behind it to add to its supply, yet the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not be exhausted. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty, all-wise. My brothers and sisters, inshallah, we will do these ayat over the next few Jumu'ahs, as I mentioned. These ayat come as a conclusion to the wonderful reminder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us in the story of Luqman alayhi salam's advice to his son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to Himself and His majesty and His glory, from whom all of this originates. There are two ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us and reminds us in the Quran to change our ways and to return to Him. One is by mentioning His glory and majesty. And the second one is by reminding us of His blessings on us, which we enjoy and without which we could never exist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself in the Quran in the beautiful ayat which I have recited for you many times before, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep me in a position where I keep reciting them again and again and again. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Himself, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm, lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard, man dhal ladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi'idhnihi, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر. سبحان الله سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. This is Allah. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, who we worship, who is the only one worthy of worship. And alhamdulillah, all praise and all thanks be to Him that He gave us the tawfiq to worship Him. And we worship Him and we bear witness that we worship Him alone, without ascribing any partners to Him, because there are no partners to Him. Without ascribing any shareholders in His Qudrat, in His glory, in His majesty, in His power, in His generosity, in His forgiveness, because there are no partners to Him. Islam is the acceptance of this reality. And Islam is to bear witness to this reality. And Islam is to fulfill the promise that comes when we bear witness to this reality of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is His Nabi and His Rasul. And the last of them and the final of them. After whom there is no Nabi and there is no Rasul. And that He is the seal of the Anbiya and the Rasul, which seals and completes the silsila, which completes the sequence of the Anbiya alayhimu salam. And that after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is only the Day of Judgment, when we shall meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to meet Him in a state that is pleasing to Him, where He has forgiven us and He is pleased with us. As I mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces Himself and reminds Himself about Himself and to change our ways in two ways. One is by introducing Himself in all His power and glory and majesty, and some of that I recited before you just now. He also reminds us of His blessings on us. And in that case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this same surah Al-Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَمْ تَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنًا وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ وإذا قيل لهم اتبعوا ما أنزل الله قالوا بل نتبع ما وجدنا عليه آباءنا أولو كان الشيطان يدعوهم أولو كان الشيطان يدعوهم إلى عذاب السعير. الله سبحانه وتعالى said, and do you not see, O men, O people, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has subjected for you whatsoever is in the heavens and whatsoever is in the earth, and has completed and perfected His grace upon you, both apparent and hidden. Zahiran wa batina. Yet of mankind is he who disputes about Allah without knowledge or guidance or any book giving light. And when it is said to them, do not follow that which Allah, and when it is said to them, follow that which Allah has sent down, they say, no, we shall follow that which we found our fathers following. Would they do that even if shaitan invites them to the torment of the fire? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He has subjected everything in the heavens and the earth to mankind. And ajeeb the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the evidence of this time after time after time. We see this in our daily lives. We see this in the context of the technology that we find that we are using more and more of. Today we are used to using all kinds of technology without thinking. Whereas the technology should have drawn us to the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason it does not do that is because we don't know who Allah is. We have made Islam into a routine, mechanical thing that we follow. We don't reflect on the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was going from Dubai to Kuwait just now last week. And Emirates, for reasons best known to itself, and of course I'm very happy about that, flies an A380 on that route. It's a 1.5 hour flight. And every time I board an A380, and of course this applies to any plane, but especially the A380, I think to myself, imagine the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here is a plane which is bigger than this building. Quite literally, I mean, it's this whole building, the A380 is bigger than this building. Hundreds of tons of payload, hundreds of passengers, 500 plus, I don't know the exact numbers, I think 500 plus passengers, takes to the air. And takes to the air at a speed of around 200 kilometers an hour. It's not going at 2000 kilometers an hour. The speed at which an aircraft gets airborne is around 200 kilometers an hour. How? Now we say, of course, how we know function of design, we know aerofoil section of the wing, we know lift and so on. That's not the question. The question is, how did this technology, how did this thought come into the mind of man to use geometry to take something which weighs hundreds of tons of steel into the air? A plane flies by geometry, not by power. Two years ago, I was in a cruise in Alaska on a ship, on a cruise ship, which was 200,000 tons of steel floating on water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us this. When you go on holidays, don't just go like a moron and just open your eyes and jaw drops and watch and take pictures and come back. Think. Think. Turn the holiday into a means of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I say, yeah, jalla jalaluhu. Ajeeb, khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throw one coin, one single quarter onto the ocean and it will sink. Few grams of steel cannot float. But thousands of tons of steel floats. How? Once again, geometry. It is the shape. Same steel, beat it flat and it will sink. Archimedes' principle, displacement of fluids. The point is, we have to think and reflect. سَخَرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have made everything subject to you. The ocean is subject to you, the air is subject to you, animals are subject to you. I was in Dudhwa National Park again last week. No, week before last. And we did an elephant ride. Here is an animal which is 4 tons in weight. And there is a Mahavat who is 4 foot nothing or 5 foot nothing. I mean, the elephant, why does the elephant obey the Mahavat? And why doesn't he pick him up and fling him out? Sometimes they do it as well. I mean, elephants only agree to obey you for a while. I mean, nobody ever trains an elephant. I'm sitting on the top of the elephant and thinking, subhanAllah, ajib, look at this khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here is this massive animal obeying this person. And so on and so on and so on. And one of my hobbies and passion is photography, and I do only wildlife photography. And one of the reasons I do wildlife photography is because it brings me so close to the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And see what Allah has created and how He has created and how He has subjected that to us as human beings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He did this and yet we are not grateful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this again and again and again in the Quran, so many places. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا
والجبال أوتادا وخلقناكم أزواجا وجعلنا نومكم سباتا وجعلنا الليل لباسا وجعلنا النهار معاشا وبنينا فوقكم سبعا شدادا وجعلنا سراجا وهاجا وأنزلنا من المعصرات ماء ثجاجا لنخرج به حبا ونباتا وجنات الفافا.
How many of you have seen a little blade of grass growing out of a pavement? How many times have you seen that? I've even seen a blade of grass growing out of a road which has been recently tarred. So here is a road that has been graded and road roller has run over it, and there's gravel on it, and then they have poured molten tar on that thing, and the tar has hardened, and out of the tar breaks, and a blade of grass green comes out of that. I know the science behind it. I'm just saying, think about that. Think about that. You don't have to see blue whales and A380s to see the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's there around us. In every single thing that we see on a daily basis, if we can only see, please notice I'm not saying look. There is a world of difference between looking and seeing. Looking is what the camera does. It's when the light hits the iris. That's it. Seeing is when you understand what you are seeing. The image. But if you want to live in this world like as if you are brain dead, then it doesn't help. The theme of our ingratitude and arrogance is something that is mentioned in the Quran many times, and to which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also alluded to often. It's a fatal attitude that we need to address urgently. It's like the difference between someone who drives recklessly and wrecks his own car, and someone who drives your car recklessly and wrecks it. One is regrettable and the other one is tragic. Because we are like the latter. We take everything we have from Allah, all our wealth, our health, our power, our knowledge, and then we stand up in rebellion against the one who gave it all to us, and without whose grace and generosity we would never have had any of this. One little imbalance in electrolytes in our blood will reformat our brain completely. All knowledge will become zero. One little block, one little clot in the brain, and you get locked in. Your senses are intact, but you can't even blink your eyelids. So if a mosquito bites you, you will feel that pain in exquisite detail, but you can't tell anybody to move the mosquito away. That's all it takes. One little clot. Little bit of imbalance. Sodium and potassium in the blood. Gone. All the arrogance, all the power, all the glory, all the PhDs, all the books, everything becomes zero, zilch. Dementia. And yet we have arrogance. My brothers and sisters, history is a great teacher for those who wish to learn. And it's replete with lessons about contemporaries who shared the times, but whose circumstances were different. History shows us how our circumstances affect our potentiality to succeed. Let us reflect on our own lives and ask a simple question. If I had been born into the family of a rickshaw puller, would I be sitting here today? You didn't choose to be born into your family. Your family did not choose for you to be born into the family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose that for you. Yet you have no issue to coast along on that and disobey Allah and rebel against Him. Sure, you are successful because of your effort, But remember that the effort benefited from the platform that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. There are many people who work much harder than you do, but who did not get your platform, and so are not where you are. I recommend two books to all those who ask me what they should read. One is Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, and the second one is Talent is Overrated by Geoff Colvin. Please read both. Gladwell is a statistician and shows statistically the effect of circumstances, family, society, laws of the land, and so on, place of birth, and the circumstances, and the kind of society in which you grew up on your eventual success in life. If you consider all of these, you will realize that you had no say in any of them. Absolutely no say. Either in circumstances or in your family or society or laws of the land or place of birth or circumstances, no say in any of them. All of these were gifts to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are you and I doing with them? Geoff Colvin talks about the importance of what he calls thoughtful practice to attaining excellence. Both the books are very relevant. Malcolm Gladwell, in the final conclusion of his book, he mentions the absolutely best year to be born. Guess which one it is? Guess which year it is? 1985. You are a millennial. You are a net resource drain. 1955. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused me to be born on the 20th of October on that day. Alhamdulillah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to be thankful to Him for what He gave us and to show that thanks in terms of what we do with what He gave us. It's not just a matter of saying thank you, goodbye. No. The issue is to, if we are really thankful, then we must practice what and we must use what Allah gave us in order to please Him. And the beauty of Islam, as I have said before, is that in doing so, we benefit ourselves as well. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can't benefit Allah, but you please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you also benefit yourself by doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.